Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure: startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
I can't remember the last time I took a photo of anything. It's been years at this point. After the incident in question, I held on briefly trying to pursue a career in photography. But in the end, I couldn't keep it together. Now, when looking through the viewfinder on my camera, my hands clam up as my heart beats as if trying to escape my chest. Nowadays, selling insurance is a suitable fit for me, but I'm getting ahead of myself. It happened about 3 years ago. The company I was employed at allowed for me to work independently as long as I could supply my own equipment. Every week, I was given a schedule of schools to attend. On this particular week, I had been given an alert on my schedule to report to a school on Friday. I was mad, thinking I had the day off, but money is money, you know. According to the alert, I was going to report to Corvin High School at 7 a.m. I was confused looking at the name, not recognizing it at all. I had been doing this job for 7 years, and most of the time, if a school that I'd never been to decided to use us for pictures, I at least knew of the name. At the time, I just wrote it off as a new build that flew under my radar. Friday came as quick as any other day, and while getting into my car, now fully loaded with my gear, I input the address into the GPS. ETA was about 35 minutes out, south of my home. With no other thoughts, I started driving. Despite not having arrived at the school yet, this is where stuff started getting weird. I don't remember ever really looking at the GPS. I don't remember making any turns. I mean, I'm sure I did, but I really can't recall any route that I took. Time seemed to do what it wanted during the drive. Anytime I glanced at the ETA, it would switch from me driving in 20 minutes to 5 to 40 to 30. Once, I'm pretty sure it said over 10 hours. In the end, it didn't matter, because after what felt like only a few minutes of driving, the familiar voice chirped from my speakers. In 500 feet, your destination will be on your left. I knew it couldn't be possible, but for some reason, I didn't even question it. You know when you start drinking and you hit that buzz just before you get drunk and stupid? You're in a good mood, but kind of just go with everything? It was similar to that, but I wouldn't say I was in a good mood. I just didn't feel like protesting anything. I stopped when the GPS told me to and got out of the car. I do not remember pulling up to a school or my surroundings as I did so, but when I stood up, a relatively normal high school with the word Corvin above the front door stood before me. I started unloading my equipment without saying a word. Something's wrong, my thoughts boomed. I've only been driving for maybe 10 minutes, or was it an hour? I stopped unloading for a moment and looked at my hand. Slowly, I began to move my fingers to make sure I had control over my body. I definitely did, but it felt as if all my actions had no meaning behind them other than to get inside the school. Once the dolly was loaded, I began walking towards the front door. It dawned on me at this point that there were no cars in the parking lot. In fact, the building itself didn't appear to look in good condition. I would think it had been abandoned. This did not slow me down, however, as I continued to the door unbothered. When I saw the entrance from my car, I could have sworn the door was closed. As I got closer, it was as if my vision molded into seeing it open, propped by a doorstop. I know that sounds odd, but that is the most accurate way I can explain it. My demeanor so far had been reserved and calm despite my confusion. Something happened the moment I crossed the threshold of that school, or whatever it is really. I entered into what seemed to be the lobby of a high school with nothing spectacular. The passive feeling I had up to this point immediately left me. Fear crept to my stomach and felt like a physical force that went up the back of my neck. A door to my right opened and a small lady in a black dress came out. I looked to her, trying not to appear afraid. Before I could say anything, she spoke. "You'll be in the auditorium." She abruptly started to walk down the hallway in front of us. I started to follow her, even though she honestly creeped me out. I was just relieved to not be alone. As I followed, I reflected back on the sound of her voice. She didn't sound right, I thought. I could feel my legs getting weak and struggled to maintain my balance. Hell, I damn near fell over, but luckily refrained from it. The lady in front didn't seem to notice. Most of the classroom doors were closed, and the small windows that should allow you to look within seemed to be covered with tape. We did pass one that was open, but the lights were off, and I couldn't see what was inside. I remember thinking how impossibly dark and devoid of life it felt when I saw it. We finally reached the large double doors at the end of the hallway. She opened the one on the right. "After you," she said. This time, her voice wasn't like the one from earlier. It sounded too young. I walked in and onto a stage that looked out towards a normal-looking high school auditorium. Once I was in the middle, I turned back, half expecting her to be gone, but she stood, holding the door, staring at me, her face now showing a slight smirk. "Guess I'll start setting up," I said, wavering a bit. "When do we start?" "They'll know when to come," she said in my voice, and then closed the door. At this point, the fear overtook me. I doubled over with my hands on my knees and let out a hushed cry. Tears started to roll down my face, but I quickly reached up and wiped them away. "Keep it together, keep it together," I said. I was scared to say my thoughts out loud, as if it would somehow make it worse. Everything was so wrong in the most abnormal way possible. I started setting up as if I was being held at gunpoint, fighting tears of panic the entire time. I was the only one in the auditorium, but I felt watched the whole time. Every now and then, I'd hear a door open far off, but look up to see no one had entered. After finishing my setup, I awkwardly paced the stage, waiting. No part of me wanted to see what kinds of kids went to this messed up school. "I should have pulled out of the lot and left," I said quietly to myself. "Why didn't I just leave?" Right then, all the lights in the auditorium went out, except the stage lights. I walked to the left of the green screen and looked out into the ocean of darkness. It was a different kind of darkness, though. It wasn't as if illumination was not present beyond the stage, but as if the stage itself was where the room began and ended, as if the stage were a singular place in a void of nothingness. After a moment or two, I finally heard something. It was a door opening far off in the distance, presumably the back of the auditorium. It opened, but never closed. I listened harder, and some shuffling could be heard in the darkness. I slowly backed up behind the camera and held my breath as the sound came closer to the stage. Then, as if being birthed from the void, a girl, who appeared to be about 16, stepped onto the stage. I looked on in confusion as she walked forward around the green screen. She approached the stool and sat in the correct pose without having to be told anything at all, sitting upright and smiling widely at the camera. I stared at her for a little bit, not really knowing what to do or say. I was really taken aback by how normal she looked. She had brown hair that stopped at her shoulders, and she was wearing a black sweater with a tulip on the front. She was also wearing high-top Converses, partially covered by dark blue skinny jeans. The only thing about her that was off was the fact that she had not blinked one time since stepping on the stage. Awkwardly, my hands assumed position on the camera. My eyes zeroed in on the viewfinder, and I quickly snapped the picture. Expecting something messed up on the previous screen, I slowly checked it out, but there she was, just like she looked in real life. Her smile faded as she stood up, moving to the right, leaving in the opposite way she came, still never blinking as she did. Before the lights went off, I knew I'd seen stairs leading up to the stage, but when she stepped off, she didn't descend. She disappeared into the darkness, as if she was never here in the first place. I heard more shuffling to my left, and a young man in a grey athletic hoodie stepped onto the stage in the same place the girl had entered. In the same fashion, he approached the stool and sat, smiling with open, never-blinking eyes. To this day, I have no idea how many pictures I took. Similar to the ETA, it kept changing. It would say 150, 400, or sometimes to be as low as 8, despite knowing I'd been taking pictures for at least an hour. No matter how many of them were there, none of them blinked or spoke at all. As soon as I took the picture, they left to the right and faded away into the darkness. Eventually, after God knows how long, a student left and then the silence returned. No one came from the left or to have their picture taken. I felt a little surge of hope, thinking I was finally done. Come on, lights, come back on. Then I heard a sound as if all the doors in the auditorium swung open. I jumped and stifled a scream. I still couldn't see, but it sounded like hundreds of people were filling the room and sitting in the seats. I heard the creak as they were pulled down and shuffling up people in the aisles. It started to die down a bit, but was then replaced by whispers. Every single person beyond the stage were quietly talking amongst themselves. I strained to hear what they were saying. I started to move towards the edge, but one look in the dark and I couldn't move any further. Instead, I moved in front of the camera and stood just behind the stool in front of the green screen. With it blocking my vision, I felt a little more at ease as I tried to make it out. After a bit, I could tell they were all just saying one word over and over again, but never at the same time, so I couldn't make it out. I strained harder, trying to listen to everyone at once. I heard the letter M first and mistook it for the other letter. After another rotated, I realized it was the second letter. And then it clicked. As if to read my mind, the whispering ended for a brief moment, only to come back in one final wave as everyone repeated the word in unison in the same terrifying whisper. Smile. Oh God. I heard movement behind me and whipped around to see what it was. The only reaction I could give to what I saw came in the form of frozen fear. From the curtains at the back of the stage, a long, skinny arm was reaching out and touching the shutter button. I got a good look at it for about half a second. It was long, as I said before, but in a very inhuman way. The camera was easily 6 feet from the back of the stage, and the arm continued into the curtains with no shoulder in sight. It was darkened to a deep brown, as if it were burned and then rotted. The fingers were long, and as it lowered them, just before pressing the button, I saw it had no fingernails, only rotten flesh in the place where they should be. Flash. As soon as it was over, the auditorium erupted with the sound of screaming. It was shrill and made me clutch my ears. Then another sound came from beyond the stage. This one I could feel from the ground beneath me. A few flashes of movement just off the stage confirmed my fears. Everyone, or everything in the auditorium, was stampeding towards the stage. I turned and ran to the door I came in. I was worried it wouldn't be open, but luckily I burst through it and sprinted down the hallway. Behind me, I heard a loud bang, and it sounded as if they blew the doors off the hinges, but I dared not look behind me. I kept running, but felt my heart sink as I realized, though I could not see the rooms fly past me as I ran at the exit in the distance, I was not getting any closer to it. The loud booming behind me was growing closer, but I still had a good lead on it. I ran so long that my stomach felt as if it were on fire and my knees were starting to cry out in pain. Eventually, I caught sight of the room I noticed earlier, the only one that was open. The exit still seemed just as far away as before, so I saw it as my only chance. I cut to the right as I ran and quickly approached the room, still unable to see through the darkness. I turned around without thinking to shut the door and by accident caught sight of what was chasing me. I thought it was a horde of, well, something I guess. In reality, it was only the woman from earlier. Only she had hundreds, maybe even thousands of long, skinny, rotted arms coming out of her back. The same as the arm that took my picture. They pulled against both walls, the floor and ceiling to propel her through the hall. Her body dangled uselessly, only being used as a shell to hide the monstrosity within. After turning towards the room and stepping in, I began screaming when my foot did not meet the floor. Instead, I fell down into the dark void for what felt like maybe 10 feet. I shielded myself expecting to fall for much longer, but then I hit the ground. I bounced once and turned over a few times before coming to a rest a few feet from where I hit. My eyes were closed, but I could still feel what I was laying on. I was confused, as what I felt was grass. I heard another sound. It sounded like wind. Leaves shook as birds chirped into the sky. I felt my shoulder sink into some loose dirt and finally let out a breath. After a few moments, I finally opened my eyes. I was outside. I raised up to a sitting position. "What the hell?" I said out loud. Another thing I noticed was I was not out of breath, and my legs felt totally fine. After running as hard and for as long as I did, I should be writhing and gasping for air. I slowly stood up, not really sure how to feel, and then spotted my car up ahead, right where I parked it. Wait a minute. I quickly turned, expecting to see the school, but it was gone. In its place stood only a small clearing with a few small trees and other plants. A feeling of relief washed over me as I ran to my car. But when I got closer, I noticed my equipment was still in the back. I didn't care though. I just wanted to drive away and never come back. The ride home was quiet as I drove nearly 20 miles over the speed limit. Part of me wanted to get pulled over just so I could see someone outside of that damn place. This time, 35 minutes did seem reasonable time from my house to the school, but as fast as I was going, I trimmed it down to about 20. I ran inside my house upon arrival and made a beeline to the bathroom. I threw the door open, flipped the toilet lid up hard enough to almost crack the top, and threw up everything inside me. When I was done, I went over everything in my head. Was it a dream? Did I pass out? It sure as hell felt real. I checked the time, and apparently I'd been gone for about an hour, as I was in the school for at least an hour and a half, and then you have to count time for the drive there and back. I went outside to my car and retrieved my camera. After turning it on, I checked to see if there were any pictures. If I could go back, I would have burned it as soon as I got home. But I'm writing this right now, aren't I? There was only one photo on the camera. The one of me. The first thing I noticed was that I was smiling, even though I know I didn't. Also, the green screen was gone, and you could see into the auditorium. I quickly retrieved the SD card from the slot and ran to my computer. After pulling it up in the gallery, after copying it over from the card, I was able to see what was behind me. The auditorium was filled with all of the kids I took pictures of. However, the only reason I knew it was them was because of some of the clothes I recognized. Their bodies were horribly rotted, but they didn't look dead. They were all turned towards where I was standing. They were looking up from their seats, holding out a lifeless hand to me. I called my boss and quit right then and there. He was angry, of course, and wanted an explanation, but I told him a better opportunity had come along. I hung up as he was still yelling. For weeks after, I tried to find evidence online of Corvin High School, but no such records exist. I couldn't even find a town called Corvin, let alone a school. I tried looking up the address, but I couldn't remember it, and there was no history of it on my phone. In fact, when I think back to that moment, I don't really remember typing in an address. It's as if I opened my phone and it was already set to take me there, and I just went with it. As for the SD card with the picture, I can't destroy it. Not that I've tried and failed, just that it's connected to me in some way. I hear it call out to me sometimes to look at the photo just one more time, but there's always more times. It also changes when I look at it. Each time I do, the students change positions, or my smile is either not as wide or wider than before. No matter what though, I'm always smiling. Until today. I heard it beckoning to me once more to open the picture. At this point, it's almost routine to look. Note the small differences and then go about my day. I'd actually become used to it, but part of me knew it wouldn't last. I don't know how much more time I have left. Today was the 358th time I've looked at the picture. I kept count out of pure curiosity, just in case it ever leaves me alone. I know exactly how many times it got a hold of me. I think today was the last time, but I never imagined the last time being like this. The picture was more different than it had ever been. The auditorium was empty, except for one seat in the front, right behind the center. The camera angle was also confusing, as it shouldn't have been able to capture that seat, but weirder things have happened. The only person in the entire room was in that seat. That person was me. My smile was gone, but in its place was that same smirk the lady had before speaking in my voice and shutting the auditorium door. I sat, both arms resting beside me, glaring straight into the camera. To make matters even worse, the outfit I have on in the photo is the exact same one I'm wearing right now.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure, startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.